the California coast. That might conjure images of sun-drenched beaches and warm waters. But Point Reyes National Seashore, some 30 miles north of San Francisco, is one of the foggiest, windiest places in North America. And for centuries, this stretch of the Pacific Ocean has posed incredible danger. This week, we're taking you to a place that tells of the lives lost along this treacherous coastline. You're listening to Bay Curious. I'm Jessica Plachek, in for Olivia Allen Price. This week, it's reporter Carly Severn who takes us up the coast and off the beaten path.
So I was driving one day to the famous Point Reyes Lighthouse, and I only really noticed that sign because it sounded so odd. It said Historic Life-Saving Station Cemetery. And my first thought was, how can a cemetery save lives? Is this some kind of supernatural thing? So I did what I later learned hardly anyone does and took the exit. And climbing up a small hill, I found four graves hidden in a knoll of cypress and eucalyptus trees. Headstones marking the bodies of four young men who all died around 130 years ago. The names on these headstones are Fred Carstens, Andrew Anderson, John Korpela, and George Larson, all young immigrants, they say, from Sweden, Finland, and Germany. They were surfmen, members of what we now call the US Coast Guard, but back then it was known as the Life Saving Service. And in a place like Point Reyes, life saving was relentless work.
If you've ever seen some of the stormy conditions in the Point Reyes seashore when we have pounding surf coming in, it's frightening to think that they did that.
That's John Delosso, who's worked in Point Reyes for the National Park Service for 35 years. He was kind of happily surprised I wanted to come find out more about this cemetery. No one ever really asks, he says. And this place is so peaceful and so still, it is easy to forget that just a few miles away, the ocean is raging. Look down at your left palm, John tells people, and see how your thumb juts out. That's Point Reyes, stretching out 10 miles into the Pacific. The first recorded shipwreck on the West Coast happened right here in 1595. And since then, for centuries, the beaches were littered with the carcasses of ships who ran aground, making the turn into San Francisco Bay. Back then, the people here often had to watch as those passengers drowned in the waters in front of them. And they couldn't rescue them because in a place like Point Reyes, the surf, the pounding waves that break on the beach, that's the thing that will kill you. And that's why the life-saving service, why the surfmen came here around 1890.
The U.S. life-saving service did have a motto, and that was, you must go out, but you don't have to come back.
We don't know a lot about the young men in the cemetery, but we know their work was dangerous and punishing.
Fog and wind alone, you know, winds have been clocked at the Point Reyes Lighthouse at 133 miles per hour. Very, very unsafe. Regardless of those conditions, if there was a rescue to be done, these individuals did it.
There were no motorized boats or radios or powerful searchlights like the Coast Guard has today. These men were dragging their small lifeboats across the hard sand, through mounds of driftwood, and rowing out to a sinking ship in swells that reached as high as a single-story house. And when the churning waves prevented them from reaching a wreck, they'd rescue exhausted, freezing survivors by rope, hauling them high over the waves.
Sausalito News, December 19, 1890. Last Friday morning, the government life-saving station was the scene of a catastrophe whereby two young lifesavers lost their lives.
You might assume that these four surfmen died in the same accident, but then the death dates on those headstones, they're different. As the logbooks and local newspapers like this one reveal, they died in three separate tragedies. So dangerous was this work this life, that they all died in daily training, not even making a rescue.
The men had just successfully beached the boat, three on the starboard side and three on the gunwale, when a huge breaker came rolling in, catching the stern of the boat and overturning it on the port side in doing so. Captain Locke was able to extricate himself with only a bruised leg. Not so with Carstens and Anderson, who were beneath the waist of the boat.
Being hit by the weight of solid wood like that, with such force, it would have felt like being hit by a truck. And just 2 years later, another of the surfmen died in the same spot, in exactly the same way.
The San Francisco Call. It was found that Larson had been struck by the gunwale of the boat as it capsized, and the blow rendered him unconscious. Larson was a Swede, 26 years of age. He had been in the service about 11 months and was regarded as one of the ablest seamen at the station. The scene of the accident is regarded as an unlucky spot.
And I found out the fourth man, John Korpela of Finland, wasn't even anywhere near a boat when he died. Hours after patrolling the freezing wet beach, he passed away in his sleep.
Station logbook, 2 March 1891, Korpela complained of having chills and a headache. At 6 a.m., 3 March 1891, he was found dead in his bed in his room.
You know, I think they were kind of a different breed of individuals, so this is about lives of sacrifice and service, and that's exactly what they did.
But these four surfmen, they aren't the only bodies buried here. When I walked further up this hill, I saw a cluster of yet more headstones, all with the last name Clausen. Why? And John tells me, this land belonged to a Swedish immigrant called Peter Henry Clausen. One of these graves is his. And back when the four surfmen died, this ranch land was his home. This was the Clausen family graveyard.
Mr. Clausen, at the time, realizing that there was no place to bury these individuals, and they were, for the most part, very young men, he decided to put a plot of land aside on his ranch and create this small little cemetery.
I still wondered why would Clausen make this space in a place he'd already buried his father and his wife, where he knew one day he'd be buried too. But then I found this tribute to him in a local paper, written by a friend just after his death as an old man.
Marin Journal, November 25th, 1915. He loved the salt sea and joyed to be near it. Many times before his health failed, he would ride for hours along the sandy beach, looking upon a long line of breakers and perhaps recalling visions of the storms that he had passed through as a sailor.
Clausen used to be a sailor from the age of 15. It was men like him that the surfmen gave their lives to rescue.
They laid him down where he liked to be, close to the sound of his loved sea.
He was also no stranger to the terror of a rescue. When a British ship ran aground in Point Reyes in 1874, who was there diving into the icy waters to help but a young Captain Clausen?
He stripped himself of his clothes, dove through one of the high breakers that came rolling into the shore, and fought his way through the surges to the side of the ship. Grasping a rope which hung alongside, he pulled himself hand over hand onto the vessel.
And finally, there's this.
All the Scandinavians on Point Reyes called him not Captain, but Papa Clausen. They came to him for advice, sympathy, and comfort, which he never denied them.
So the four immigrant surfmen probably weren't just courageous strangers to Clausen. You don't bury strangers with your family. These young men were, in all likelihood, his friends. But maybe it's right that a place as hidden and still as this keeps a few secrets yet.
Great story. And now, Carly, before you go, I want to know, what was it like digging into that little local mystery? Was there anything you couldn't include in this story?
So the funny thing is that a lot of the online accounts of this cemetery story, they actually confuse Peter Henry Clausen with his dad because they have almost exactly the same name. It's just this like innocent error that has stuck around. So, of course, then I wanted to find out more about the right Clausen. And in the course of digging through all of these local newspaper archives to try and work out that connection between him and the Lifesavers, I stumbled across some intrigue. A sort of secret wife he had.
What?
He's only supposed to have had two wives. But then there's this newspaper story congratulating him on getting married one more time on Christmas Day in a local hotel to an American woman. But guess what? By the next year, his mother has arrived from the motherland with a Swedish woman for him to marry. And the American wife seems to be scrubbed out of the picture.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so this guy's marital intrigue doesn't have that much to do with our Bay Curious story.
Oh.
But it does bring home to me that, like, even though this all went down over a century ago, these were real people who lived and breathed and ate and loved people and felt things. And there's nothing more that makes the past come alive for me than that.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, reporter Carly Severn. Bay Curious is made in San Francisco at KQED. I'm Jessica Plotcheck. Have a good one.